now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The transfer window has slammed shut, and now it's on with the football. And to keep the baying mob satisfied, the fixture gods have cooked up a Saturday schedule full of historic grudge matches. The Milan Derby, the Old Firm, the Merseyside Derby, and Fiorentina against Juventus, all on the same day. Ooh, baby. Oh, and by the way, Manchester United host Arsenal. I'm joined by Mike LaHood and Jonathan Johnson to break it all down. Que Golazo Weekend Preview begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Que Golazo. Thank you so much for being part of the family. We appreciate you. YouTube.com/ Que Golazo, Que Golazo Pod on Twitter. Help us grow, baby. Well, as we are taping, the transfer window is still going, but as you are listening, the transfer window is shut. So we will pretend that that is the case. It's been an absolutely insane, insane transfer window with many, many storylines. Michael LaHood, have you gotten out of that magician's box yet? I can see it.
Well, I can tell you. Here's the photo booth right here. Light on, light off. Light on, right off. Taking pictures because Manchester United are back. The transfer window is closing. I got my coffee on the pot. Haven't had it in my system. You will know what I'm blathering about, but so happy to be on the show.
I love it, Mike LaHood. And Jonathan Johnson, I would say, how are you? I'm not even going to get into it, but it's good to see you, my friend. All ready for the weekend preview or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty pumped up for it. Just relieved that Villa have a guy who can score from corners, because then if we didn't have him, I'd be completely depressed. But no, I was just giggling at the idea of Mike LaHood in the magician's box. I've got like this mental image of him with like a few like dollars like on the desk next to him, that he's just gonna like reach outside the photo booth that he's in and keep the lights on.
Absolutely. Just don't cut him in half, please. We need him. But welcome, everybody. Welcome to our weekend preview. Some may say the best episode of the week. We'll see. The Champions League returns next week, by the way. So plenty more content to come. And if you haven't checked it all out as well, by the time you listen to this or even watch this, we also have a transfer window recap as well. That should be a fun one. And plenty more to come, including the weekend recap at the end of the weekend. But let's get going regarding the preview and looking ahead to this weekend's matches. And as we mentioned in the intro, my goodness, it's grudge game all over, baby. Let's begin with the Milan Derby. Milan against Inter Milan, 12 p.m. noon Eastern, which, by the way, you can exclusively watch on Paramount Plus and CBS Sports. Don't forget about that. Straight away, before we get into the game, though, let's talk about some off-field situations with the Milan Derby, Jonathan Johnson, because we've got, first of all, the Yankees, right? My New York Yankees joining the Redbird Capital in a $1.2 billion takeover. That also includes, by the way, Drake and LeBron James as well. Looking good for Rossoneri, Serginho Dest, an AC Milan player as well. I'm sure Mike will chime in. But JJ, AC Milan doing a lot of business as they obviously embark on not just defending Scudetto, but also getting into the Champions League. And now they face their bitter rivals, Inter Milan. How have you seen AC Milan getting ready in this offseason towards this big game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny sort of the timing, because I feel like we were talking about the Milan takeover months ago, you know, and obviously now it has been completely finalized. You know, the different financing of the deal has been sorted out. Personally, obviously, you know, thinking about things from a French point of view, I'm wondering how it's going to impact Toulouse long term. But also, let's not forget, you know, it's the same group, or part of the same group, is also invested in Liverpool as well. So, you know, we'll see if there is is, you know, potentially some sort of conflict of interest at some point in the future. But, you know, no doubt that Milan now, for me, you know, sort of since the title win, they really feel primed for like a return to the elite. You know, last season didn't go the way that they wanted to on the European stage, but we've discussed that or touched on it kind of in recent weeks. And I think that they will be a lot more competitive in Europe this season. And, you know, I think these kind of games are ideal preparation for them to get back into the swing of things in the Champions League. And I'm excited. I mean, you know, AC Milan, for me growing up, was just one of the giants of the game, sort of up there in terms of, you know, prestige, along with Real, along with Barca, you know, probably more so than Barca, actually, because Barca didn't really sort of, you know, get to that level until sort of a bit later, sort of certainly in my lifetime. You know, so Milan were always one of those kind of like classic names, and now it really feels like they actually have the capabilities to really put themselves back on the footballing map in the way that they used to be, you know, for nostalgics like me.
I remember tuning into Champions League matches when Milan were at the top of Europe, and it was as if his royalty was coming into the San Siro. And when you have Drake and LeBron, that is royalty. That is pop culture royalty, sports royalty, rap, hip hop royalty. And there's a feeling of AC Milan are back. Can they take that next level with the infusion of cash, with the infusion of just notable names and personalities, and put it on the field in Europe's biggest stage? And I can't tell you, man, I can't wait to see Drake in the San Siro with OVO, bottles of Cristal Dom Perignon. And the biggest question will become, what's he going to do when Liverpool and Milan play each other in the Champions League final? Is he going to wear like parents do, where they stitch the jersey down the middle? Like,
that is such a Drake move, by the way. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go to this Milan derby, right, and wear an Inter shirt. That's a Drake.
But you know what they say about the Drake curse as well, when he's like pictured with some of the players and then they lose form. Like, what happens if he's part of like the official photo shoots or something?
Exactly. Yeah. He will be literally that meme where he's just like, nah, and AC Milan will lose. But it's and Mike, real quickly, though, regarding AC Milan, before we talk about the derby itself, Sergiño Dest, I mean, it's confirmed. Fabrizio Romano confirmed it yesterday. Full agreement. It's a loan with a buy option for around 20 million euro, which is not mandatory. Dest is going to sign until June 2027, you know, potentially a four-year deal, flying to Milan. You know, literally already there, I believe. What are your thoughts about that? Because, you know, this is a big move for Sergiño Dest, who was looking for minutes finally.
I think it's a great move because he's going up against Florenzi, and it's a good matchup for him. Florenzi isn't one of the best outside backs in Serie A. AC Milan are so left side dominant, something we'll talk about during this matchup as we preview the derby matchup between them and Inter. And there's good opportunity for him to battle Florenzi. Dest will give you the ability to get forward, but also I think he's a better defender 1v1 getting back on defense. His ability to cross the ball will have to improve, though, in Serie A, because the likes of Olivier Giroud will be dependent on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's for me, it's a really interesting fit, you know, with Dest. I was actually quite high on the idea of him going to Villarreal before the interest from Milan came in. It's funny, like as soon as that takeover was announced, suddenly the rumors started. So, you know, very clearly, I think, you know, the new ownership want that sort of statement signing, certainly, you know, with an eye towards the US market. And I agree with you, you know, Florenzi, having seen him up close at PSG, I think he's a bit underrated, but his best sort of role, I think, is sort of as a squad player, somebody who can come in from time to time, but he's not necessarily like that long-term starting fit. And I think for Dest, you know, it feels like he's been around for ages, but he is still very, very young, you know, in his early 20s, you know, and I think that is an opportunity for him to establish himself over the long term somewhere, you know, and to really find a good fit, because, you know, there's no better place to come through as a youngster than Ajax. And unfortunately, although it looked like it could be a good move on paper when he went to Barca, everything that's happened with Barca sort of over the last, you know, 6 to 12 months has kind of thrown everything up in the air for so many players who looked like good fits there, you know, and now have to find, you know, new homes. So I like this one. And I think that it could be a good long-term fit. We'll see if there are some teething issues, but I don't think Dest is going to struggle too much. And that will be a huge boost for the USMNT, especially sort of with an eye on the World Cup at the end of the year.
Very quickly on Inter Milan, guys, JJ, back to you. Just, you know, they're set to sign Francesco Servi on loan from Lazio, I believe. including a buy option clause. Again, that's from Fabrizio Romano, by the way. We're saying this as we tape, so maybe some movements by the time you listen. Inter still, you know, needed a center back as well, so there's some movement. I was reading as well about Jordi Alba. Do you think by the time this window shuts, JJ, Inter are ready to finally reclaim that Scudetto throne, or is it maybe a little too hard, specifically now, the way that AC Milan are pushing?
Honestly, I don't think that Inter will regain the Scudetto. I think Milan stand a better chance of defending it than Inter have of retaking their crown. And I think actually, sort of longer term, Inter have blown their opportunity to sort of become the dominant force in Italian football. I think that Milan now have a perfect opportunity with, you know, stable ownership. I think, unfortunately, you know, the way that Inter's owners have sort of run the club over the last couple of years with their financial issues, it means that, you know, they're never far away from selling off a key piece. I mean, we're taping this a couple of hours before the transfer window ends. PSG's key transfer target over this summer has been Milan Skriniar. And, you know, if they end up making a move for him, pushing and offering a price that Inter can't, you know, turn down, suddenly that's a big hole in that Inter side with hours left in the transfer market. A veteran centre back coming in, I mean, okay, a solid performer. But for me, it feels like, you know, Inter are going to go back to sort of being one of those teams that's competitive for Champions League qualification. But in terms of sort of a title bid, I just can't see it. And I think, to be honest, Simone Inzaghi is the ideal guy to have in charge of a team like that, because we've seen in the past what he could do with limited resources at Lazio, you know, a team that couldn't really invest that much because they never cashed in on talents like Sergei Milinkovic-Savic. You know, so I think that, you know, Inter, they're in good hands, but is it enough for them to get back, you know, and really compete for the Scudetto? I'm not so sure, especially if you see guys like Skriniar and then, you know, potentially even Martinez at some point moving on as well.
When I look at this Inter team, I still think it's Antonio Conte's team. This still has the DNA imprint and blueprint of Conte ball, and Conte ball not really working out in the Premier League so far in front of goal. But this is an Inter Milan team that has the best player in Serie A right now, in Lautaro Martinez. He is their offensive output, and he loves to play against AC Milan. Do not count them out yet. Last time he played against Milan, he was the star of the show, and he used his head, which is one of the things he doesn't do as often, but he's a predator in the box. Against Lazio, Lazio were dominant against them. 3-1 surprise demolition of Inter. And I think since getting Lukaku, I think Inter thought, okay, you know what? We have Big Rom back. We're just going to stroll to the title. I worry about this Inter Milan team, because are they losing their fear factor? Lazio certainly did not fear them. And I wonder if AC Milan will not fear them. But derby days always bring you a little bit of a wrinkle. In February of 2022, take you back to that date, AC Milan doing the unthinkable comeback win, Olivier Giroud coming up with two goals to lead the Rossoneri to really that kickstart of their Serie A title winning campaign. So you never know. These are the type of gains that can really take your season to a new height.
All right, well, let's quickly do predictions then before we move on. Very, very quickly. Mike, back to you then. JJ, you jump. What do you see in the score?
I'm going to shock everyone. I think Inter is going to win this one. I think the fact that they have more of a point to prove going up against their rival, I think they'll be hungry. And Lautaro Martinez, the fact that he loves to play against AC Milan, I think it's going to be the difference in this one.
I think that Milan will win. I'm going to be shushing Mike Lahoud on the next podcast appearance together. I can see it being tight, but I think Milan will come out on top. If I had to pick a score, I'd probably go 2-1.
Yep, that's what I'm going for as well. All right, well, let's quickly move on here. The Old Firm, by the way, that's Saturday, 7:30 Eastern as well. Tremendous match, of course, of very, very significant in the Scottish Premiership. Celtic host Rangers. And, you know, it's, you know, when you look at how both teams are doing right now, it's back to usual with Celtic leading and Rangers in second, but this has always been a historic game. Some American influences as well, as of late, as well, Jonathan Johnson. So what say you? And by the way, both teams in the Champions League as well, which is pretty remarkable. Celtic opening against Real Madrid, which should be absolutely tremendous. But a lot of Americans in this one, a really big game, lots to talk about. JJ, very quick, the Old Firm, how do you see it?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think I mentioned after the Champions League draw, it's the first time in about 8 years that you've got two Scottish teams in the group stage of the Champions League, which is huge. And it is a sign of how much, you know, these two teams have gotten their acts together in recent years, especially on the European stage. Fingers crossed that Postecoglou can now sort of translate that those impressive domestic performances. I mean, we saw them rack up a huge win recently, and really compete on the European stage in the way that Rangers did, reaching the Europa League final last season. In terms of the Americans on show, you know, Tillman, looks pretty exciting so far for Rangers. Sands has been getting some minutes as well. Cameron Carter-Vickers for Celtic. So, you know, you've got plenty of talent there. I mean, unfortunately for the USMNT-centric viewers here, I'm actually higher on Kyogo at the moment in attack for Celtic. I think he's a really underrated gem. And I think a lot of, eyes will be on him when the group stages kick off. But I think, Celtic and Rangers coming into this next week, it's the perfect match for them because they want to be competitive from the off in Europe. And I think if they can have good group stages, I mean, it wouldn't be a failure, to drop into the Europa League. And as Rangers showed, they can be competitive all the way up until the end. So, you know, Old Firm on the weekend, then straight into European action. No better way to prepare.
That's well said, JJ, because timing is everything to get you ready for Europe's giants and Europe's greatest heights. When I look at this matchup, I'm surprised when you talked Celtic, you didn't mention the transfer from Benfica, Jota, young winger. He's been lighting it up in front of goal alongside Kyogo. And let's practice his last name, Furuhashi. Try saying that six times fast. I tried this morning and I failed. So glad I got it on this pod. You got to do it live. And for Rangers, it's new additions that will be the difference in this game. Antonio Colak coming in and can't stop scoring. He scored a massive goal across the Champions League tie against PSV, scoring on the road and scoring at home in Scotland. And whoever gets more of an imprint and puts their stamp on the game on the Old Firm Derby, their team will win.
So let's go with quick predictions then. What do you think, JJ? The Old Firm, what's going to happen?
I'm going to say Celtic to win. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a draw, but I'm going to say Celtic win, narrow win. So instead of going 2-1, I'll say 1-0 Celtic.
Mike Lahoud?
I'm going 2-2 draw. They're not going to hold anything back because it's the Old Firm derby, but with Champions League looming, both teams will have one eye on that, and hence why goals will go in, but it'll be a stalemate in the end.
Yeah, I'm going with a 2-0 draw as well. By the way, as you mentioned, Mike Lahoud, Champions League, baby. Every match, all in one play, CBS Sports and Paramount Plus. I can't wait for the tournament to start. You can watch it exclusively on Paramount Plus and CBS Sports. And make sure that you tune in as well to Qué Golazo. We'll have the preview, we'll have the recaps, and it will be fantastic. Another season of the Champions League. There's Karim Benzema, Kevin De Bruyne, and Lionel Messi, of course. Should be a great one. All right, let's keep moving here. We mentioned there's a lot of grudge game situations going on, and let's go to the Premier League now. The Merseyside derby, baby. Everton against Liverpool. Everton got a point midweek, of course, and Liverpool with a very late winner against Newcastle. And now they're facing each other at Goodison Park. By the way, very quickly, Mike Lahoud, Artur Melo to Liverpool closing in, I believe, as we're taping. What do you make of this?
I think it's Liverpool's best recognition of the fact that they need healthy bodies in midfield. I think that's why this move is down to the wire and looks like it's going to happen. Artur has been almost in prison in Juve, and the black and white colors looks like a prisoner almost, with Juventus sitting there on the bench and sometimes in the stands. So it's a move the player wants. It's a move Liverpool need. In terms of playing style, he's not going to give you that offensive surge, but Liverpool don't really get that many goals out of midfield. He'll be, he could play as that six. He could play as an eight alongside the likes of a Fabinho and Jordan Henderson. But smart move. I think Liverpool were finally listening to us on the pod about the need for reinforcements in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that this one is shrewd, because when you decide that late in the transfer window that you're going to make a move, then suddenly, you know, especially when you're as big a club as Liverpool, that alerts all the other potential clubs, like, right, well, if Liverpool come knocking at our door, you know, we need to charge them through the nose. So I think looking for somebody who has the potential to bounce back, to resurrect their career, you know, but can actually be acquired at a relatively low fee, you know, I think that that is quite low risk, and especially for the role that Liverpool kind of need him in as well. You know, I think there is, you know, potential for there to be significant upside in that, because he'll come, he won't be guaranteed to necessarily start, but if he can get back to anything like the level that we saw from him when he first arrived in Europe, then suddenly, you know, that is a massive boon, and it, you know, turns into a really, really shrewd move then. So for me, I think that this one, you know, is a surprise one that could pay off, because, you know, you've got, you know, a lot of like the obvious targets where clubs were waiting for a certain amount of money to be stumped up. And I think Liverpool, you know, they haven't jumped, you know, at some of the more obvious opportunities. They've really, you know, done their homework, looked at who might be able to fit into to Klopp's system. And for me, this one, I think I have a good feeling about it.
Well, he's a friend of the show, Arthur Miller. He was part of Kewalaso a while ago. You know, he's only 26 years old, and
got more minutes with us than he did last season.
Oh man,
the same amount of time sitting down—that's for damn sure. But actually, that's where I was going, because you know, we all know JJ and Mike jump in, and we'll talk about Everton in a second, guys. But Arthur Miller, obviously, it's no secret he's been on the bench, like not much minutes, and now he's entering a system. A very demanding system from a Jurgen Klopp perspective, you know, completely different in many ways to Max Allegri. So does that concern you, JJ, just his lack of minutes? And also, you know, he doesn't just need to learn a system now. He needs to learn the Liverpool way. Does that worry you a little bit? Or do you think, nah, he'll be fine once he gets settled?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for so many challenges, especially for such a potentially high quality player as well. I mean, it's not just in terms of, you know, what he's going to be doing physically, but like mentally as well, like the cultural adaptation to moving to a new country as well. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind about him is that he has been in two fairly poisonous environments the last couple of years. You know, he's been at Barca, he's been at Juve, neither, you know, sort of in the best of health in the last couple of years. So I think it'll be a real eye opener for him going to a club that is really well run with a coach who's, you know, very demanding, has a very specific idea of how he likes to play, you know, and I think, you know, really good professionals, you know, will react positively to that. And I think that he will relish the challenge. Sure, he's going to be short of fitness for some time, but, you know, I think the training sessions, also the fact that you have so much more football to play in England, arguably, than pretty much anywhere else with the extra domestic cup action, you know, there will be opportunities for him to rebuild his fitness. You know, has it come too late for him to sort of, you know, make a claim for a World Cup place? We'll just have to see how often Klopp calls upon him. But, you know, I think that it will be almost like a bit of a rebirth for him.
When you're a player and you haven't played for so long, it's a breath of fresh air. And those first couple matches, when you get your shot, your fitness levels don't really matter because you're playing on pure adrenaline and joy to be seeing the field again. I think you'll see that from him. And the fact that there's injury woes, the fact that Liverpool need reinforcements, need a player like him to get fit, you'll feel needed, you'll feel wanted, and that can really boost your confidence. On the ball, I don't worry about Arthur Miller if he can fit in the Premier League. It's in transition. The La Liga is sometimes can be a transition league, but with Barcelona, he was used to breaking teams down. And Juventus, whenever he got on the field initially, he was used to breaking teams down. With Liverpool, they play end-to-end sort of football, and I think that'll be his biggest need to adapt.
Yeah, speaking of woes, let's talk about Everton now. They're hosting this game. I mean, obviously, things are still progressing. Frank Lampard's side did get a point midweek, but now this is a very, very tough test against their Merseyside rivals in Liverpool. We're hearing, of course, that James Garner is going on loan from Manchester United as well. That should be a little bit of an addition. But still, though, the strike issues remain for Everton, and now they're coming against a very strong side in Liverpool who are looking more confident game by game. Mike Lahoud, very quickly, how do you see this game? Is it just one-way traffic? Or because sometimes, you know, the derby sort of aesthetic, the adrenaline of being in a grudge match maybe gives you that extra push. But do you heavily favor, just like, you know, the odds here, do you heavily favor the Liverpool side to win this?
I do. I wouldn't say it's going to be by a heavy margin. I think this will be more of a grind, and it depends on when that first goal goes in. The first goal is going to be key in this match. And since Jurgen Klopp has come into that Liverpool manager role, the first goal has always been key. If it's an early goal, then it's going to be a rout. And I think of if that first goal goes in for Liverpool, you know that new emoji that is kind of like that, where the guy's peering through the hands? That's what we're gonna be in for Everton. You might see a back six for the first time. And for them to have any success in this match, remember how they stayed up in the Premier League. It was being super defensive, everyone back, and leaving Richarlison high. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that in this game. No Richarlison, though, but leaving one striker high and having everyone back in front of the goal, maybe even the top of the box.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I think, is a potential sort of trap match for Liverpool in that they could quite easily get caught up in the heat of the moment and the emotion because it is a rivalry game. But also at the same time, you know, I just really struggle to see Everton really hurting them. I mean, Liverpool, yeah, they kind of made a hard work of it against Newcastle the other day. But, you know, you saw sort of Jurgen Klopp at the end, the reaction, you know, the hunger is still there. They're sort of starting to motor now, especially after, you know, absolutely gazumping Bournemouth. And for me, it's more like, you know, the Liverpool machine has now woken up. And, you know, Everton, I mean, it's easy for a Villa fan to say that Everton aren't looking great, but Villa are not looking any better themselves. And, you know, I think when you look at some of the players that Everton have brought in, I mean, I'm keen to see how Idrissa Gueye readapts to the Premier League. You know, Garner will give him options as well. But, you know, I think when you're looking at like where the goals come from, you know, if you want somebody who's going to be scoring week in, week out, Mope is not necessarily the guy, certainly not coming in as like a replacement for Richarlison. I still think that Everton are going to find it difficult, you know, sort of getting themselves out of that danger zone. And for me, I think the best that they can hope for in this game is a draw. And if they do, you know, I think that their defense and, you know, the goalkeeper are going to be pretty busy.
Speaking of the goalkeeper, Jordan Pickford is always up for it in this game, and sometimes for worse. You know, we all remember, of course, the big injury on Van Dijk. Do we expect, Mike, for him to let his emotions get away from him? Another physical kind of battle? I mean, you can't blame him, right? It's a big game, but, you know, it's been seen in the past that sometimes that can be a little bit of an issue and cause a few injuries to the opponent.
I want to check his playlist because we know he loves house music, and sometimes we all love house music. I know I do. It gets you hyped, and for a derby game, it can get you too hyped. Jordan Pickford, on his day, comes up with just worldies of saves, but that erratic nature in this matchup is something of a concern. Mind you, on the goalkeeping side of things, he's had that erratic presence where it's cost Everton in the end. They just need him to focus on goalkeeping. You don't need to be more than you are. Just focus on goalkeeping, make the big saves, and then you can do the mixtape after the game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't think Pickford is necessarily Everton's problem. You know, he does pull off some saves and is worth, you know, sort of somewhere around, you know, in the 10-point mark over the course of the season, you know, with some of the saves he makes. But, you know, I think ultimately that Everton's problems are further forward on the pitch, not necessarily at the back.
All right. Well, we'll see. Let's quickly do the predictions before we take a break. It's a big game. I'll start. I'm with you, Mike. I think it's going to be a tough one back and forth, but ultimately Liverpool will win this possibly 2-1, maybe even 3-1, like that sort of like stoppage time goal when Everton are trying to push for everything. What do you think, Mike?
I'm going 2-0. I think Everton is going to grind, make it difficult. But the fact that Mohamed Salah is being the provider and they have options off the bench and Carvalho leaving it late, Liverpool can grind this out. And I think it could be goal early on or goal in the first half and then goal in the second half to close it out.
JJ?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-0 Liverpool. I'm feeling that, yeah, it's maybe going to be a bit tight for a while, but ultimately the Reds will pull away.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, plenty of matches to discuss. We'll even go back to Italy as well, and some Serie A action as well. And, you know, some final thoughts. And that will be it of our weekend preview. Mike LaHood, Jonathan Johnson, LME, Gigo Lasso. Weekend preview. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to Que Golazo, our weekend preview. Mike LaHood, Jonathan Johnson. All right. Before we move on to Serie A, I just wanted to wrap up the Premier League for a second. No, I'm not even going to touch Man City Villa. Okay. So just leave me alone. AJ and I, it's too much. I need
a break. There are mismatches, and then there's Villa's defense trying to keep Erling Haaland at bay.
Exactly right. So I'm not even going to talk about it. I just want to, let's focus on Manchester United Arsenal, Mike. This is a big one. It's a big one for, first of all, Arsenal looking fantastic. These days, 5-0, they've won every single game. Everybody's clicking under Mikel Arteta. As we are taping this, we don't even know how many more additions will come. Yes, we're hearing about Douglas Luiz. We'll see if that's accepted. But Arteta's Arsenal, whether new players come in or not, there's no doubt about it. Number one in the power rankings right now in the Premier League. And now they face a Manchester United side. So that's going to be tricky. Disclaimer, we're taping this before they face Leicester, of course, on Thursday. But what are you expecting in this game? Because, you know, Ten Hag needs Old Trafford every single time. And so this is Old Trafford now, once again, the 12th man against a perfect Arsenal.
Over the last couple seasons, this has been where Arsenal fall flat on their face coming to Old Trafford, whether they have a bright start or slow start. And that's been to Manchester United's benefit. And this could be one of those. What are we going to see for Manchester United in terms of what type of season is this going to be? Is this going to be where Ten Hag finally gets his players and really that whole group unified? These can be the type of games that tick your season in the right direction. And for Arsenal, this is the first real big test that they've had in this season. When I look at their team, the surge of confidence is down to the additions of two Manchester City players. Gabriel Jesus looks the real deal, looks like the second best striker in the English Premier League behind Erling Haaland, complete player, setting up players and also scoring big time quality goals. But also Zinchenko's addition, there's an air of confidence that having players who have been there, done that, and won Premier League titles on one of the most dominant teams in Premier League history in Manchester City as of late gives the rest of the team. Now, when you go to Old Trafford for Manchester United, it's a tricky affair because the longer the game goes 0-0, the crowd becomes restless, and that's when mistakes start happening. They will be at their best if they hit Arsenal on the counter and keep Ronaldo in the stands, maybe down the street at Salford City FC at the local pub, because I don't want him on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'll leave it at that for your take on Cristiano. I don't see him adding anything positive to the United situation. But on Arsenal, I think something else as well that's quite underrated in the way they've been performing so far this season, has been the addition of William Saliba to the defense as well. That defensive structure suddenly makes them so much tighter as well. And I think that really helps to get Arsenal playing the way that Arteta has always envisaged. Now, when you've got that reliable back line in front of a very talented goalkeeper in Ramsdale as well, I think it suddenly makes it so much easier for the rest of the team to perform. And it really feels like, you know, Arteta's master vision, for Arsenal is really starting to fall into place. And, you know, I see them as, being firm favourites for this game. I mean, obviously, we don't know how United Leicester is going to play out because we're taping it before that plays. But I fancy Arsenal for this one.
Oh, one quick point, and I'm glad you brought up Ramsdale. I think this is going to come down to the battle of the goalkeepers. In this tie over the last couple of years, David De Gea has had some of his best moments saving Manchester United's blushes at Old Trafford against Arsenal. Whichever goalkeeper has the game of their lives and is the goalkeeper we all think they can be on the night, I think will give their team the best chance to win the game.
Yeah, should be a really, really good game. Let's talk about predictions here. Manchester United against Arsenal, historically one of the most important games in the Premier League. Mike Lahoud, hard overhead. What are you thinking? Obviously, JJ's giving it to Arsenal. I'll ask him in a scoreline in a minute. What do you think, Manchester United against Arsenal? Who wins this?
Oh, man, I hate to do this to myself. And you put me in the clutches when you said heart overhead, but... 3-2. I'm going to go 3-2 Arsenal. I think this game comes a bit too early for United. I think they're just getting going. And at the same time, it won't be the type of result that dismays the team. They still need another month before this game comes. So Arsenal are on fire right now.
I want at least 5 goals in that one for you. That's good. JJ, you had Arsenal winning. What's your scoreline?
Yeah, I'm going to go for another Arsenal 2-1 win. I think that they'll have enough for this. I don't disagree with Mike. I think both goalkeepers will be busy. But for me, I can see Arsenal running out winners at the end of this.
Yeah, every time Manchester United faces a quote-unquote big team, right, the Liverpools, they're always so up for it, and it requires sort of their historic memories of Sir Alex Ferguson to kind of carry them through. There's new additions here. You know, Casemiro, Anthony, this is a very good squad. But to your point, Mike, might be a little too soon for that. Arsenal are just, it's not even just about the individual, it's the collective. They look so good. Everybody knows where they want to be. It might be a little too early for United to take something. I think Arsenal remain perfect, and it's a 2-1 result for the Gunners. All right, the rest of the Premier League fixtures before we move on, by the way, check them out on the screen. Some notable ones, by the way. Brentford against Leeds should be a fun one. Another London derby in Chelsea against West Ham. Nottingham Forest, the mean version of Nicolas Cage on drugs, who's spending so much money out the window. They face Bournemouth. Another London derby in Tottenham against Fulham. Wolves against Southampton. And the game that I said I'm not going to talk about. Brighton against Leicester on Sunday. And we mentioned Manchester United against Arsenal. Some tasty fixtures. And obviously Newcastle Crystal Palace. Lots to discuss, lots to watch in the Premier League. Let's move on, baby. Let's go to Serie A, which you can exclusively watch on Paramount Plus and CBS Sports. All right, we talked to Milan Derby, of course, but Fiorentina against Juventus and Lazio against Napoli. Very, very sexy, Jonathan Johnson. Where do you want to go there? Some two very big fixtures, even not including the Milan Derby. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Fiorentina Juve, you know, classic Italian derby game. And, you know, I think it comes at an awkward time for Juve because, you know, they're trying to bed in some new pieces like Leandro Paredes. You know, they've got the Champions League kicking off difficult away at PSG next week. This is the kind of game that you don't really, you know, want to be coming into, you know, ahead of a difficult week of matches. And Fiorentina, I feel they're a little slow starting this season, but they've still definitely got enough quality to hurt Juve. You know, and I'm fancying them to not necessarily cause an upset, but certainly frustrate Juve.
This is the Vlahovic derby. That's going to be the key player. That's going to be where all the cameras are focused on. I want to remind you, last time a player left Fiorentina to go to the evil empire, Juventus, and came back to Florence. Baggio, I think, is the guy, the little rat tail. He got ran out of the stadium and Juventus got humiliated. Those fans' cash receipts, they don't forget. And they're getting a former goal scorer in Vlahovic coming back. Vlahovic has been the one lifeline.
Luckily for Juve and Chiesa is not available for this one.
Oh, man. Oh, that'd be double trouble. The whole state of Florence would blow up and riot. They chase them out of the bus and out of the town before kickoff. But when I look at this matchup, this is the sort of trap game because it's going to have a lot of emotions. And Juventus are so dependent on Vlahovic's goals. Such a trap game for your lead striker who will want to have a point to prove. But it isn't as if he's going back to a team that didn't treat him well. He left a team that he was, I think he had, 17 goals before he left for Juventus. Those fans will have the biggest role to play if Fiorentina are going to get anything out of this game. last season from last season to this season, their top two goal scorers are no longer there. Vlahovic gone to Juventus. I think it's Piatek gone. He was on loan, I think, from PAOK. So where are the goals going to come from? It might be an own goal that saves the day, but I could see more of a draw in this one. Fiorentina will have to frustrate Juventus in the end.
Yeah, after a 3-2 victory in the opening day of the season, Fiorentina haven't found the goal in the last four matches in all competitions. That's going to be an issue. And now, to your points, they face their former striker in Dusan Vlahovic. So it should be a good one. I'll probably go with a Juventus win. I think we're all in agreement on that one. And also, very quickly, Mike, on Lazio against Napoli.
That match intrigues me so much because this was a Napoli team that came out firing. The last two matches, stuttering. And Lazio, once they got that 3-1, the manner in which they got that 3-1 win against Inter Milan, I think they caught everyone's attention. The battle of the two strikers, Victor Osimhen and Ciro Immobile, that will be the talking point. And gosh, both strikers are so different. Osimhen, one of the talks of Europe, his physical presence, his hold-up play, but his ability to be clinical in the box. And Immobile, will he be going up against the guy who challenges his golden boot crown?
Yeah, and this one for me is really curious because it's the first kind of like real test for Napoli. I mean, I guess you could argue that Fiorentina was a tough game, but I think I'd put Lazio sort of slightly above them at this moment in time. So curious to see what Napoli, have got coming into this one. And also as well, Lazio, I still feel that they kind of leave me a little bit cold under Sarri from time to time. I don't feel like they've got quite that consistency going that they perhaps should. I know that there's issues sort of surrounding sort of like Sarri's use or deployment of Luis Alberto. So, I think that this one, definitely has the potential to be a very entertaining affair. And I mean, I'd fancy a score draw for this. I don't know, maybe even a 2-2, something like that.
Should be a good one indeed. And as I reminded you, CBS Sports Paramount Plus, your home for Serie A action in the U.S. Make sure to check it out. All right, let's go to Spain. Let's go to La Liga because something has to give here, Jonathan Johnson. Real Betis against Real Madrid. Both have won their first three matches. They're looking great. Obviously, we're not that surprised about Real Madrid defending champions, of course. But Real Betis and the Pellegrini, fantastic. What a game here. What are you expecting?
Yeah, so this one, obviously a real test now for Betis after making a good start to the season. I mean, I'd say that there's a bit less pressure on them because they're not dropping points in the games that they would have dropped points in last season. But also it's a really big opportunity for them as well. Real will sort of have one eye on getting a strong start in the Champions League. I mean, Betis still have a few things up in the air, with regards to registering Willian Jose and Claudio Bravo. I think there was a situation where Joaquin even offered to retire in order to for those players to be registered for the squad. I mean, I don't know if they're going to find a way to work it out sort of between now and the end of the registration window. But, Betis, I think if they can get all of those guys registered and be at full strength, then, I think that, they definitely have the potential, to give Real a test. And, it's a good opportunity as well for Betis to come away with, quite a heartening result and performance because let's be real about it. A draw for Betis in this kind of situation is definitely not to be sniffed at. If they can be difficult for teams like Real to beat this season, then that will stand them in good stead in terms of breaking into those Champions League spots.
There's something about this Betis team that brings back the nostalgia of a former Pellegrini team, the ones that played for the Yellow Submarine, where they had a playmaker in Juan Ramon Riquelme. Betis have their playmaker in Nabil Fekir. They have good wingers, and they have a team that's firing on all cylinders in terms of getting goals, but also defensively, Betis look more solid under Pellegrini. And I'm just getting this feel-good vibe going on in Andalusia, but they're going up against the dream. Karim, the dream, Benzema, he's alive, he's awake, he's ready, and he can hear the Champions League bells ringing. And that means that he will be up for this match. I'm sorry, JJ, the buck stops here. I got Madrid in this one.
Well, Hector Bellerin is also out as well on his way to Barcelona, which we'll be talking in a second. By the way, some other news from La Liga. So sad. A friend of the show, a ridiculous appearance record for this striker, Iñaki Williams, an injury blow for him, meaning that he won't be able to start. And Des Norris, remind me the numbers of appearances that he was on his way to. He already broke it. It was unbelievable. But that means that he won't play for Athletic Bilbao this weekend. So those news are done. That's a tough one there, Mike Lahuda. Sad to see Iñaki Williams not feature in this one. 236 matches, consecutive games appearances. Wow. Unbelievable.
It's always a bummer when you see a player just pushing milestones and consistency, professionalism. I was unfortunate. I didn't get to do that as a player because I suffered a lot of injury blows because it's what happens in the game. But hopefully he comes back stronger. Hopefully he comes back healthier. And he's a key part of what Bilbao are doing. Make no mistake about that.
I mean, you look as well at the table. If we weren't raving about Betis every episode, we'd be talking a bit more about Athletic Club as well, especially under Valverde since he returned. You know, 7 points out of nine, that's pretty good going. And Bilbao, they're always a very, very tough team to play, especially when you go away from home to the new San Mames. They're definitely a team, you know, that some of those other potential contenders for Champions League qualification need to be wary of, the likes of your Sevillas, Atleti Madrid's. And then they're a tough cookie to crack. And I think Valverde coming back, you know, that is a really good move, both for him and the club.
Yep, and that's right, Mike Lahoud. He's asking it on the private chat. He committed to Ghana, which is a great move, I think, for him. When I urge everybody to check out that Kego Lasso interview, he was talking about how much he owes his journey and his career to his parents. And it's kind of as a thank you to everything that he knows from his culture. So fantastic stuff. So we should see him at the World Cup if he, of course, hopefully he's ready to go. All right, let's wrap up La Liga for a second. Sevilla in trouble against Barcelona. And by the way, as we're taping, obviously a few hours left for the end of the transfer window, we have a recap show. You probably already know by the time you listen to this, but there's a few pieces of movements going on with Barcelona. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang on his way to Chelsea, we believe, for 14 million, 13 million pounds, plus Marcos Alonso. So Marcos Alonso will be heading, which also means, by the way, and also per some reports, apparently there's a big signing yet to be done for Barcelona before the end of the window. I have no idea how they do this, but they're facing Sevilla. Should be a good game. I'm expecting either Sevilla to finally wake up, Jonathan Johnson, or to flop, and Lewandowski taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, for me, I'm still struggling to get excited about Sevilla. I noticed they added Dolberg to the ranks on loan from Nice. I mean, he's really struggled for form again in France over the last couple of years. Great, great player on his day, just doesn't have enough of those days. It's no intentional slight on Monchi. I just kind of feel like this is probably not going to be Sevilla's, best vintage. Obviously they have the quality to get back to a good level. I just don't think that level is perhaps, the same level that we've seen over the last couple of seasons. And I think Champions League qualification, it's probably going to be beyond this group of players at this moment in time.
When I look at this Sevilla team, so much is put and emphasized on what they're doing in the front of the field. But this is a Sevilla team that's been depleted at the back. Some of their key contributors over the last couple seasons are no longer there. The Jules Koundé derby. Geez, I feel like every player has their derby this week. But the Jules Koundé derby, could we finally get to see him put his imprint on Barcelona? But when I watch this game, I don't even bat an eye about it. When we actually had it on the rundown, the first thing I thought about was, what am I going to put in my cup? It'll be sangria, because Barcelona and Lewandowski would be just swishbuckling sip and 4-0 win.
Not club. I think we got to choose cava instead of anything.
Cava.
All right, well, let's do the predictions then. You think Sevilla, no chance here, Mike Lahuda. Barcelona takes 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. Lewandowski, once he gets going, he's a difficult man to stop. And the fact that they're not just getting goals from him, they're getting goals from midfield, and everyone seems to be finding their rhythm. And also on the business end, they're getting players out who don't want to be there. There's more of a lightness about this club, and the project is up and running. I still think they're crooked, though.
Yeah, JJ, Barcelona win for you as well?
Yeah, I can't see beyond it. I'd probably go 2-0.
2-0 to Barcelona. And by the way, as the boys were talking, and I'm sure you already know by the time you watch or listen, Héctor Bellerín is at Barcelona now. It's all done, all agreed, a one-year contract with no option for further season. Bellerín will sign until 2023 of June in the next few hours. It's already should have been done by the time you listen to this, per Fabrizio Romano. So Barcelona continue to make some business, unbelievably enough. All right, well, that was it, everybody. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Que Golazo Pod on Twitter, youtube.com/Que Golazo. Final thoughts from these two fine gentlemen. Jonathan Johnson, let it out, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick shout out to Ligue 1. I know we haven't touched on France coming into this weekend, but some interesting matches. And I think it's going to be hard to look past the Southern Derby as well between Nice and Monaco. You know, really two teams who I expected to start the season much better than they
have. The Rich Boy Derby, Jonathan Johnson.
Yeah, indeed, the Rich Boy Derby. But, you know, two coaches who are under a little bit of pressure now. And, you know, also there's a surprise team keeping track of PSG at the top of the table. Lens, another fantastic win in midweek against Lorient. They'll be up against Reims over the weekend. So another team to keep an eye on. And if you haven't seen it already, check out the emotional contract extension had Seco Fofana after that Lens win over Lorient. Fantastic scenes, quite rare, you know, and kind of like the French version of Betis right now, in that they're very much the feel good story. Ross Barkley going to Nice, that's something that's been rumored. I mean, Nice picking up some very strange names as well. I think Joe Bryan as well from Fulham has rocked up in France. So it's taking me all the way back to when Tyrone Mings signed for Marseille after he'd escaped through a dressing room window from Paul Jewell back in the day.
Random FC, of course, indeed. But thank you so much for the Liga updates and the recap, or the preview more like ahead of the weekend. Mike LaHood, final thoughts, buddy.
JJ, I think Nice are just cashing in on the receipts of all the players who holiday there and signing them whichever way they can. I'm going to Germany. Big game, top of the table clash. Bayern Munich against who? Union Berlin.
I love
in
it.
The game's in Berlin. And could we see an upset on the cards? Union Berlin without one of their leading goal scorers from last season, Nigerian striker who plays for Nottingham Forest. Would try to pronounce his name, but it would sound like I have marbles in my mouth. Not even going to try and botch that one, but he's a good player. So that one is going to catch my eye, because the Bundesliga need a team to beat Bayern just to make it more competitive. And why not Union Berlin? It'd be a massive upset.
Yeah. Don't call him PFOC. Whatever you do.
I thought it was Subotic.
Definitely do not do that. But great stuff, boys. Thank you so much for the Liga and Bundesliga previews for the weekend. And thank you, everybody, for being part of the family. As I mentioned, take a minute to leave us a rating and review for your, you know, of your favorite podcast on your favorite podcast platform. More so, we're on Apple Pod, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit YouTube. Help us get to 25,000 subscribers. It's unbelievable all the work Que Golazo does day in and day out. Des Norris, you hardly ever see his beautiful Irish face, but he does it all the time. Make sure that you salute him. Partido Pooper is his account on Twitter, by the way. I've still yet to ask if he's ever received any kind of weird messages just because of that account name. But Jonathan Johnson, Mike LaHood, James Bench, Fabrizio Romano, LME, thank you so much for being part of the family. Weekend recap to come, much more transfer stories, and Champions League next week as well. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next time. Till then, bye-bye.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.